8. I'll read in English, and you can read from the PowerPoint as well. So, verse 1. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we had dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, but rather, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know, we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up. God is our witness. We did not look for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have easily asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Verse 8. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives as well. The sermon title for today is, in part, Our Lives, Share Our Souls. So a very good morning, everybody. Can you believe it? It's October already. The Christmas lights are out in Orchard Road. Yeah. So how many months has it been since COVID? If you count, too many months, 21 months. We can't believe we're still in this. So how many of you might be feeling a little bit isolated, disembodied, a bit languishing is the word? Maybe how many of you know others who are feeling lonely, isolated, or languishing? So these are difficult times. Even if you're fortunate enough to have a good job, a roof over your head, and relatively good health, you're not spared from the stress and anxiety of everything that surrounds us at the moment. These are not easy times to live in. The book of Thessalonians that we're reading now was also written for a church that was facing very difficult times. So what was so hard about their lives? So what happened was that Paul had to leave his church. He was there preaching for a couple of months, but he was forced out of the city. And he was very, very worried about them. He was worried there was no one to guide them. Thanks to the reports of Timothy, he knew that even though he wasn't there, they were doing well. Despite that, he knew that they had very, very difficult times ahead. So he was worried for them because he loved them. He warned them, he prayed for them, and he really agonized over them. So our passage today is the one where Paul describes his ministry in Thessalonica. So these were the verses, and as you read it, the middle part might jump out. This is where Paul says, we had good motives, we were not flattery. So he seems to be self-praising. So I just want to say here, when we read this, we think, why is Paul saying all this? Why bother? He's telling the Thessalonians, this is what I did when I was with you. It's a bit like preaching to the choir. I was there. Why are you telling me? So the reason why he's saying it is not to be boastful or defensive. He's saying it because he wants to remind them, just as I did, you also need to do. In the Bible, Paul rarely uses the word apostles. He doesn't talk about making apostles, but what he talks about is imitating him. Chapter 1, verse 6, he says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. And elsewhere he says, as you learn from us how to live your lives and please God. So Paul says, imitate me. Be like Paul. For today's passage, there are three broad categories of how to be like Paul, but I'm focusing only on one of them. So he reminds the Thessalonians that they need to be bold in speech, speak out bravely. He reminds them to act with integrity and heart. That's the passage that we saw earlier. But he also reminds them that he loved them so much that he shared his life with them. And that's the verse I want to focus on today. I'm focusing on verse 8. And what does verse 8 say? Verse 8 says, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Just to break down that verse a little bit. So Paul is saying that because is causative. So he's saying, as a result of sharing Christ with you, we grew to have great affection for you. The word share there means to give you part of me. It's a word that means I retain some bits, you retain some bits. So he has given part of himself to them. And the word to share our lives, in lives, the Greek word is psych, you know, P-S-Y-C-H-E, like psychic, psych. So that word has also been translated as life or even as soul. Yeah. So because we loved you so much, we are delighted to share not only the gospel, but our lives as well. So hence the title of today's sermon, In Part Our Lives and to Share Our Souls. So in today's sharing, I have a few reflections on the way Paul shared his lives that I think might be meaningful for us in the midst of our endemic, pandemic, whatever situation. Yeah. Paul's letters are more relevant to us than we think. Actually, Paul was the grandfather of remote ministry because he had to travel a lot and he had to disciple or look after the churches that he had planted. Talk about long-term relationships. That was Paul for you. As I talk about community, my focus is primarily on Christian community. So it is with fellow brothers and sisters, although in the end, I will mention a bit about outreach. So these are some of reminders. Okay, spoiler alert. I know I just started, but at the end of this sharing, I'm going to invite you, challenge you, to think about where you stand on your community building and whether you can level up. That's not really a spoiler. I think you kind of guessed it as well, yeah? So where are you now? Do you consider yourself part of a community of Christians where you can give care and receive care? So 3 points on Christian community. The first point is that when we think about community, we need to remember that it is not an optional extra for our Christian life. It is not a plug-in, not the extension pack. No, it's part of the OS. Even though it's a starting kit, it is part of the basics of being a Christian. God's call to us is personal. He doesn't call a family. He calls you, but he calls you into the community of Christ. So Paul knew this well, and all his letters are littered with talks about how to do community and how to make things right. Because we live in a world is already or not yet, the chim world is realized eschatology. To do community is not easy. In the best of times, it is our human nature that stops us from living in godly community. In the worst of time, in persecution, in pandemics, it may be outright impossible for various reasons. As we look at community, we have some examples to follow. The German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a classic on life called Life Together about community. So he reminds us that Christians don't belong in a happy cloister by themselves, but instead we belong in the midst of our enemies. And he knows this well because he wrote this book when he was teaching underground under Nazi rule. You may remember that eventually he was executed, but before that he was captured by the Gestapo and then he was in prison for 2 years. Two years, yeah? And in 2 years, he had his ministry there. The fellow prisoners ended up being his community. Another person that knew well what it meant to have really tough time building community was the Apostle Paul. We read about him in the current book of Thessalonica, but do you know that when he wrote it, he had to leave the city because his opponents hated it so much that there was a mob scene outside the house that he was staying in. He stayed with a believer whose name was Jason. So they had to leave Thessalonica, and then he went to a nearby town called Berea. And his opponents hated him and his message so much, they followed him to the next town and still made a lot of noise. And then he had no choice. He and Silas had to be smuggled on a ship to Athens so that the mob scene, they would stop following him. So that's how much they hated him. Another example, our Lord Jesus knew what it was like to teach and preach in the midst of opposition. So we know that for the short years of his ministry, there were all those who were against him until his work ended, or maybe we should say his work was completed at the cross. Because the world is not our native ground, it's not our forever home. Therefore, the fact that we are allowed together is an act of grace by God. It's not something we should take for granted. It's not a chore, it's not an obligation. It is a privilege, it's not the norm. And certainly our brothers in the persecuted church understand this, but I think sometimes we forget. So I'm afraid this means that things like hardship, persecution, and even a pandemic are not reasons to put community on the back burner. It's not like when things get better, then I'll do this. Because remember, community, not a plug-in, not an extension kit. Of course, it's hard. We follow Jesus Christ. Hardship is not a bug, it's a feature, something we forget as well. So from this point, don't give up on community just because it's hard, just because it's not efficient. My second reminder about community is that godly community takes place through Christ. Last week, Pastor Xiaohui urged us to consider labors of love, to do service, to go out and help more. And you might have been thinking, I'm already fully maxed. I'm so busy at work. I have kids at home trying to work. My health is not great. My parents need, and the list goes on. And anyway, it's COVID time. How am I supposed to ask people out and do community? The good and bad news is that it's not about you. It's not about you. For Christians, community comes about because of our connection to Christ. The koinonia, or Christian community, it isn't like secular community. It's not about proximity. It's not because you and I have common interests and our personalities get well together. It's because we connect through Christ, and the goal of this community is to carry the message of salvation. It is to do God's work. Because we carry out his work and goals in his plan, he permits this gathering. The bad news is that the idea of Christian community you have may or may not be the same as God. It's not about having an extraordinary social experience, gathering in happy coffee shop week after week. If we have our own idea of community in church, in our Christian lives, and try to realize it, we might be quite disappointed and disillusioned. So what is Christian community? So Christian community is about agape love, brotherly service. It's not about eros, which is fulfilling our human desires. Christian community is where we find the Word of God alive and well, and we see the fruits of the Spirit's are manifested. Is coming to church good enough? I come to church, I'm part of a Christian community. We see it from not just the outward behavior, but all the inward things that I've mentioned. Because the good news, so that was the bad news. So the bad news is also, by the way, that Christian community is aspirational. You've probably seen enough churches and Christian communities to know that we don't always see this loving, spirit-filled community. I'm not sure it makes me feel better when I look at it and I realize that this is, until Christ comes again, it may be a bit of an aspirational goal to us. Bonhoeffer says that Christian community, like our sanctification, is the gift that we have but we cannot claim fully. Can't redeem yet, not yet, but we can try. There are bits of it. The good news is that because it's not all about us, we don't have to work so hard. Yes, we're tired, we're exhausted actually, emotionally, maybe physically, but because Christian community is the work that God has prepared and he calls us to participate in it. So he invites us to take place of it. Therefore, we are not resentful and grudging and despondent when things don't work. Maybe we initiated something and nobody responded. Maybe we feel like we're not clicking with people around us. Instead, we have an attitude of gratefulness and look to God because we know it's his work and not ours. Because this is God's work, Christian community can still happen even though we are apart. We don't meet together. For example, apart from writing letters, Paul was also constantly praying for his people. His letters are littered with prayers left, right, and center. From corporate prayer, community can be built. Whether we are physically praying together or praying for each other, but not physically together. So let's remember to keep praying for each other. Get on the prayer grid. Build our community in our own way. So just to recap, remember that I talked about how you can level up your community building, which I will get to a little later. So as we pause, I've just talked about how Christian community is a privilege, and I've also talked about how it's God's work. So that's the what is it, and then who builds it. God and us. Yeah. The next thing you might think is, how, okay, all this sounds very good. So we look back to Paul again. How did Paul manage to do all these things? So my third point is that Paul pretty much took in of God. Imbibe means to take in. It's usually used for alcohol, but it can also be used for taking in, partaking of God. But he managed to do it when he was on the go. It was God's love that drove and propelled Paul to do all his things. We see that in his letters. His letters also talked about how important prayer was. He really prized praying a lot. In the 1 Thessalonians, the book, you find three prayers already, one at the start, one at the end, one in the middle. He was always praying for them. Paul also prized the word of God very much, and you can tell from the way he talked about it how intimately he understood it. That's how he could debate his opponents. I wanted to know more about Paul's spiritual practices. Did he, like Jesus, go away to a quiet place and meditate and pray? Is that the example we are meant to follow? Unfortunately, I didn't find any mention of it, so I can't use that as an excuse for withdrawing, I'm afraid. Instead, I found lots of examples of Paul doing community and service. So that picture on the right, it's his hard labor. Paul was also a tent maker, by the way. He didn't want to impose on the local community, so he tried to earn his own keep, even though they helped by housing him. So in Paul, I see a reminder that service and community are important, and Paul was able to draw of God even when he was on the go. Solitude is a spiritual discipline, and we do it, but service and community are also important spiritual disciplines. I was wondering, what about the self-care movement? Have you heard of it, self-care, where we must put ourselves first, take care of ourselves? I don't think Paul would have been a big proponent of it. I don't see him doing much self-care at all. Maybe it was just Paul. The self-care movement uses ideas such as me time, taking care, putting myself first. So it's true that we need to look after ourselves, but that's because we're the temple of God. We need to be good stewards of what God made. Yeah. The issue with the self-care movement that it might become self-prioritization, it might become more about your desires and your wants. Yes, we are promised rest and renewal, but we find it in Jesus Christ. We find it in God's word, in prayer, and in community. We don't just find it in retreats, even spiritual retreats, or in staycations. I'm going to pause here a minute, lest I sound a bit too judgmental. I know things are tough. Yeah, I know things are tiring. So we are tired, we are drained, and we started by saying many of us might feel or might know of people who are feeling lonely and languishing. So I'm also tired. So some weeks I'm just trying to make it from deadline to deadline. So I want to say that our tiredness is legitimate and God sees and God honors all that we're doing. But I also feel that God is reminding us that the way to cope is not by shutting down. So I feel that he is very tempting, but he's reminding us that community with fellow believers is his plan for us. And therefore, I'm not even talking about evangelizing. And therefore, even in our difficulty, we must continue to press on with it. And I believe that if our heart is in the right place, God will allow us to find a way to do community. It could be as simple as praying for, praying with someone. Community means giving care and being cared for. So you can also step up and ask for care if you are feeling like you really need help. So that brings me to, where are you now in your community building? You don't have to be extroverted. You don't have to have a big house to invite a lot of people. Anyway, now you cannot because it's COVID. You can only have two people. So we should remember that community building, there's a continuum. There are the likes of Paul, such an expert. He could do everything and still keep hold of his disciples and keep building new churches. Pastor Hock-Seng spoke a few weeks ago about the incredible teamwork that was fueling his ministry. You can be an expert like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. in prison 2 years, and he managed to minister to the guards as well as to his fellow prisoners. The people, he may not even have seen them. He said he heard them crying every night in pain. And then he would pray for them. Is that community? I think so. So I think that's the expert level. At the beginner levels, you have the introverts, you're just at home, you can pray for people, pray with people. Remember, Christian community doesn't require you to be physically together. You can ask for care as well, in addition to caring for others. And I think you probably find yourself somewhere between the two extremes. If you're not sure how to do community, then please find role models. Please find people around you that you admire and see if you can do what they're doing, and pray to God that He shows you, based on your interest and your place in life, where you can find people to care and to be cared for, showing your agape love, letting the word of God live out. So if you yourself are feeling a bit lonely and isolated, I encourage you to reach out. If you know others, it doesn't have to be even from our church. Yeah, you can reach out to those who need a bit of help. And you can also look beyond Jubilee, your other Christian friends. Look outside, see what other people are doing. So far, I've not really talked about outreach. If you worked with me before, you know that my preference is to first build community, then do service, which then leads to outreach. That can happen in any order. It's not a linear thing. But I find that community amplifies service. So example of how you can look around and find role models in a webinar about doing Christian worship online in this endemic, I saw a sharing by Dr. Kelvin Cheong. He's from Singapore Bible College. I don't know if the words are too small for you to read, but he's listing all the things that the projects he has now, and they all sounded so interesting. He said that he's trying to do outreach to migrant workers by sonic therapy. He's exploring online music therapy. I've also read that Campus Crusade, now called Crew, I think, they're doing online mission trips. Yeah, I haven't explored them, but role models, different ways to reach out. If you yourself are already, you know you're quite good at doing community, you mentor and you lead, then I encourage you to help those that you look after to build their own communities as part of discipling them. So here we are. We've been reminded that Christian community is a call and a privilege. We've been reminded that we connect through Christ. And we've also been reminded that, like Paul, we can partake of God and be renewed even if we're working pretty hard. Okay. So I leave you with this challenge and this thought. Please don't give up on community, on Koinonia. If you drifted away, please come back. Yeah. If you're frustrated, angry, trying to build community a bit, maybe you feel a bit fruitlessly, futilely, chill a little, come back to God. Ask Him what work He's doing and allow yourself to participate in that. So God invites all of us to participate in the work that He has already prepared. May we, like Paul, say, because we have loved you so much, we are delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have called us, Lord, to a very special kind of community. By your grace and by your work, you have allowed it. Lord, I pray for all of us here, listening, hearing, that you open the way for us to expand on the work of community, because we believe that it is your heart. Allow us to see who we can care for and who we can be cared for, Lord. And let us always look back to you as the one who is the head of all this, Lord. All this I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.